Good morning and welcome back to our Daring Faith campaign series. I hope you've been with us throughout this series, and I hope you've been following along in your book. And if you have your book, we're on page 7, starting on page 78 today, I believe it is. Yes, 78. And we're actually halfway through our 40 days. Today is actually day 21, and we're halfway through the Daring Faith campaign series. Again, I hope you've been enjoying it. We want to again thank Pastor Rick Warren, who has put together the material for this series, and we've just taken it and adjusted it for our use here at Highway. And we're so thankful to him for this material. And I really hope and pray that as we've been going through this, your faith has been growing. Your faith has becoming more daring. So before we really get into today's message, I want to go through last week's memory verse, and I hope you remembered it. And I'm going to ask you at this time to just say it out loud. I know you're watching online, but there's something about saying it out loud. I'll give you a second and I'll listen. I hope you did it, because I can't hear you. Of course I can't. You're there, I'm here. But it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It says this: no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. I hope you remembered that, and I hope you don't just remember it so you could say it today. I hope you remember that as you walk through the rest of your faith life with Christ. Now, before we get started today, I want to just talk to you, and I want to take you back in memory. If I'm talking to you and you're an adult, I'm taking you back. Maybe you're a teenager and you're in the midst of this right now, or a tween, as we like to call them now, just coming into your teenage years. But have you ever been put in a situation where you've been either told something to do, or maybe you just know it's the right thing to do, and yet you didn't do it? Maybe it was, if you're thinking back to your teen years, your parents had asked you to do something and you said, yeah, I'll do it. And you knew you were supposed to do it. You knew you should do it. And then you just didn't do it. If any of you have been teenagers, and you all have been teenagers, hope those of you who are adults now, you were all teenagers one time, you've all probably done that. Maybe it was when we're in our early 20s or even later, maybe we're new in a job situation, and we knew something was right to do, but we didn't want to take the chance to do it, and we let it go. And maybe our boss or someone came to us and said, you should have done this. And we say, yeah, I know, but I wasn't sure. And have you ever had someone tell you in those situations, well, just take the initiative, just do it? As the Nike commercial would say, just do it. Maybe as a teenager, your parents got mad at you because you didn't do what you're asked, and they said, would you take some initiative? Well, today I want to talk about taking the initiative in our faith. And that's what we're going to look at today. And I want to start with this question. Have you ever been waiting for God to do something in your life, and then realized that maybe God was waiting for you to do something first? Have you ever thought about that? You're waiting for God to do something in your life, but maybe God is waiting for you to do something first. Maybe God is waiting for you to take the initiative. Because that's what living out faith is. It's understanding what God has said, and then taking the initiative to go and do it. James chapter 2, verse 18 and 20, and they're kind of shortened down and combined together here, but it says this: show me your faith without doing anything, and I will show you my faith by what I do. Faith that does nothing is worth nothing. Other translations, we've heard this word: faith without works is dead. See, our faith should cause us to do. It's not enough to know something and just, I know it, that's great. We need to act upon what we know. The same thing works with our faith. We need to act on what we know. Even when we first came to know Christ, when we first accepted Jesus into our lives, we knew something about Jesus. Some of us knew more than others. Some of us knew less. Some of us, it was a real, we had a quick lesson on Jesus and we accepted him into our lives. But just knowing about Christ isn't good enough. We need to act on that and accept him into our lives. See, faith without doing anything is worthless. But I want you to also understand this today, that when we do step out in faith, God is with us. When we do know what is right to do and we step out to do it, God is with us. See, oftentimes we get afraid to do something even when we know it's right. Well, even when we know it's what God has told us to do, even when we know it's what God has asked us to do, we often get afraid. But I want to encourage you today, God is always with us when we step out in faith. A very familiar portion of Scripture to all of us is Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Many, many people, even non-believers, non-Christians, quote this passage of Scripture. And it's this: I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, that is also this week's memory verse. Again, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So when you take the initiative and step out in faith, you can hold on to God's promise that he will give you the strength to do what he's asking you to do. Hold on to that. The Scripture tells us we can hold on to that in Philippians. So today I want to look at four things we need to do when taking the initiative and stepping out in faith. The first is this: obey God immediately. Psalm chapter 119, verse 32 says this: I will quickly obey your commands. And then in verse 60 of Psalm 119, it says this: without delay, I hurry to obey your commands. You see, God doesn't want us to wait. He wants us to hear from him and do what he is asking. Now, I have to clarify here, because we don't just jump at any voice we hear in our heads. Well, God told me to do this. We need to be sure we've heard from God. Now, there's certain things we don't even need to question, because if it's in this book, if it's in the Word, well, we don't have to question it. You know, God tells us to tithe. God tells us to pray for the sick. This Word tells us to share Jesus with others, among many, many other things and commands and promptings God gives us in his Word. We don't have to question those things. We don't have to ask. We don't have to say, oh God, is that for me? It's in his Word. It's for you. It's for me. It's for everybody. There's other things. Someone comes to you and says, I believe God told me that you're to go to Africa as a missionary. You may want to hear that for yourself from God. You may want to question that and pray about that and hear from yourself, for yourself, from God. You see there's a difference there? By the way, God may be calling you to be a missionary in Africa. I don't know. But those things, those type of things, we need to be sure of. And by the way, I don't think God's going to ever send someone, just as an aside here, to tell you something that you haven't already heard from him. So let's not all become those prophets that just want to tell people what to do. God will speak to you and maybe back it up with some other things. But again, when we hear from God, even the things we're not completely sure about, we need to do something. We need to pray and ask God to give us a quick answer so that we can quickly, immediately, obey what he says. Why do we want to obey immediately? Because delayed obedience is actually disobedience. I know I get so frustrated with my kids, and my kids are not kids anymore. They're all, actually just this week, my one son turned 20, my youngest, so now I don't have any teenagers anymore, and I started feeling old, but I realized my kids aren't kids anymore. But they still frustrate me because two of them live at home, and I like my dinner hot. I don't like my dinner cold. I don't even really like it lukewarm. And both my boys who still live at home will call them and say, dinner's ready, and it's on the table. And they say, coming. And then it's 5, 6, 7, 10 minutes later that they come down. I get so annoyed because now I've been waiting and my dinner's cold because you didn't come down when you said you were coming. You didn't come down when I called you. And I consider that disobedience because they delayed. God does the same. When he tells us something in his word, when we see it in his word, when we know it's in his word and it's right for us, and we delay in doing it, we're being disobedient. I've always told my kids, when I tell you to do something, do it right away. Because guess what? They forget. And then they don't do it, or they do it way too late. Delayed obedience is actually disobedience. Second thing I want to tell... Excuse me. Second thing I wanted to say today about obedience is we need to obey God completely. See, just like delayed obedience is disobedience, partial obedience is also disobedience. See, we need to obey what God tells us completely and fully. We don't just take, okay, I'm going to obey this part over here and not this part over here. Okay, God, you've told me to go and reach the lost and share your love with the lost. I'm going to do that, but I'm not going to give of my finances. Or I'm going to give of my finance, but I'm not going to go love the lost. Well, it doesn't work that way. Partial obedience is also disobedience. Psalm 119 verse 4 says this, Lord, you gave your orders to be obeyed completely. Completely. And then James chapter 4, verse 11 says this, your job is not to decide whether this law is right or wrong, but to obey it. You see, oftentimes we want to pick and choose what we obey and what we don't. We need to completely obey his law. Like I said a few seconds ago, we can't say, okay, I'm going to give, but I'm not going to share the gospel. I'm going to share the gospel, but I'm not going to give, as just two examples. No, we need to take what God's word tells us. We need to listen when God speaks to us and do it. And that's just the way it is. When I ask my kids to do something, I don't want them to do half of it. I expect them to do everything I've asked of them. Well, God expects the same of us as his children. He expects us to do all of what he's asked us to do if we want to be obedient. But see, as human beings, we get into this temptation, and it's the oldest temptation in Scripture to get to this. Did God really say that? And then we try to justify it by I'm looking at Scripture and this and that, and we try to, well, God, is that really what God meant when he said, don't have sexual relations outside of marriage? Is that really what he meant? Or did he mean this? No, that's really what he meant. God said, be faithful to your spouse. Well, is that really what he meant? Or did he mean this? No, God said, be faithful to your spouse. Period. But the oldest temptation in the book goes right back to the Garden of Eden, where the serpent and Eve were at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what did the serpent say? He said, did God really say? See, That's the temptation. It's the oldest temptation. Did God really say? And by the way, we ask ourselves that question all the time when we don't like something God said. And then we don't take the initiative. We don't step out in faith because we convince ourselves that that's not for us, or God didn't really say that. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says this: trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. You see, God knows better than us. He knows what's good for us. And oftentimes we don't. You ever been as a parent, you told your child, do this, and they say, why? I hate that question, why, from my kids. And you gave them the answer, because I said so? Well, sometimes we have to take and understand God like that. When we say, I said so to you, because I said so to our kids, we're telling them, we know better than you. We know what's good for you. We know what will help you out in your life. And sometimes God is saying that to us. Do this. When we say why, and we get that from God, because my word says so. You might not understand it all right now. You might not understand what that's going to do for you, but I know better than you because I created you. And because I love you, I only want what's best for you. So don't try to figure it all out. Take God at his word and be obedient completely. So my question today is, what has God told you to do that you've been ignoring? I want you to ask yourself that as we go through the rest of today's message. Are we picking and choosing what we want to listen to that God has called us to? Or are we accepting and obeying completely? The third thing we need to do when obeying God is we need to obey God joyfully. That's not always easy, but we need to be joyful in serving Jesus. Psalm 100 verse 2 says this: obey him gladly. And Psalm 119:47 says it this way: loving God means doing what he tells us to do. See, when we love God, we obey him gladly. Because we know that he also loves us. It's not a struggle to obey God. We need to take the initiative, do it, and do it joyfully. 1 John 5:3 says this: God measures your love by your obedience. That verse just amazed me when I came across it in preparing for this. It's something I hadn't really caught on to before. But God measures our love by our obedience. You see, when we love somebody, we want to do what they want. I think back to when I first began dating my wife, Kim, and I wanted to do the things that she wanted to do. And I was happy to do those things because what? Because I knew that made her happy. And as married life has gone on in years and years, sometimes I'm not as joyful anymore. But then I sit back and think, why wouldn't I want to do what makes my wife happy? And why can't I take pleasure in doing those things? I'm not always good at it. You can ask her yourself. I'm not necessarily good at it. But we should be joyful in doing what we know pleases the one we love. God understands our love when we're obedient to him. John 14:15 says this: if you love me, obey my commandments. If we truly love God, we're going to obey him, and we're going to obey him joyfully because we know it's making his heart happy. So I ask you again today, where does your joy lie? Does your joy lie in doing the things God has called you to do? Does your joy lie in stepping out in faith to the things God has asked you to do? Or does your joy lie in doing what you want to do? That's often a struggle for us. But our joy should lie in stepping out in faith and doing what God has asked us to do. The fourth thing today, we need to obey God continually. Psalm 119, verse 112 says this, I am determined to obey you until I die. I am determined to obey you until I die. Verse 33 of Psalm 119 says this, just tell me what to do and I will do it. Lord, as long as I live, I wholeheartedly obey you. We need to obey God continually. We can't obey God today and not tomorrow. And then maybe a week Thursday, we're going to obey God again. And then a month and a half later. That's not how faith works. You see, when we came to faith, when we accepted Christ into our lives, we didn't just accept him into our lives and then do nothing with it again the rest of our life, for those of you who are believers. If you're not a believer and you want to accept Christ into your life, it's not something you do today and it's over with and you just go about living your merry way. The life of faith is about continually doing what is right in God's eyes, continually stepping out in faith and doing what we know we've been asked to do. It's a marathon, it's not a sprint. You know, in stepping out and walking in daring faith. Now, I'm going to say something here because some of us get kind of caught up in this. Well, I've been trying, Pastor, to live a life of daring faith, and I keep asking God for direction, and he doesn't speak to me. Well, if that's you today, I'm going to ask you to ask yourself a question, and that question is, what has God already asked me to do that I haven't done? What has God already asked me to do that I haven't done? You see, oftentimes, God's not going to give you the answer here if you haven't stepped out over here. He's not going to give you step 3 and 4 if you, or 2, 3, and 4, unless you've done step 1. Again, living daring faith, taking the initiative, is stepping out on a daily basis and doing the things God asks us to do. If we didn't do the first thing, he's not going to tell us the second thing. You see, I coach sports and I'm very interested in sports. And there's a thing called muscle memory. So you do something often enough, your memory, your muscles remember what you're doing. If you don't do it here, your muscle doesn't remember. So that muscle is useless to you. The same thing even goes with working out. The more you work out, the higher the weights you can lift, the more you can do. The more you jog, the farther you can jog. It's about working into our full potential. The same thing goes with our faith. God is not going to ask you, the first thing to do with your faith is to go out and walk on the water like he called Peter to do. He's going to ask you to do something smaller. And when we step out, take the initiative and do it, then he's going to ask us to do something a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. That is daring faith. Living out, expecting God to ask us to do something more every day. God wants us to obey him continually. You see, God wants us to obey him immediately. He wants us to obey him completely. He wants us to obey him joyfully, and he wants us to obey him continually. Why? Because he knows what he's asking us to do is what is best for us. And he knows that, and he only asks us to do what's best for us because he loves us. Now, you may be out there today and you're saying, well, but Pastor, I don't even know Jesus. I've never accepted God into my life. You can do that right now. And it's very simple. Just accept that Jesus is who he said he was, the Son of God. Accept that he died on a cross for you to pay the penalty for your sins and my sins. Ask him to forgive you. And then ask him to help you live your life in faith. Help you to live your life in faith, taking the initiative and walking in faith with him. See, it's not walking in faith for him. It's walking in faith with him, because he will be with you. As we said back in Philippians chapter 4, he will give us the strength. If you did that today, if you want to do that today, we're going to say this simple prayer to accept Christ, and then I'm going to ask you to do one other thing for us. Lord, I thank you today that you did come and die for us, Jesus, that you came to show us the way to live, and that you call us to yourself. So Lord, forgive me today. Help me today to live my life for you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I hope you prayed that prayer with me today. If you don't know Jesus, now you do. And I'm going to ask you to do one thing. Just help us out. Text the word love to the church phone number, which is 416-267-1189. Again, text the word love. Or you can, on the online, if you're logged into the online platform, you can just hit the button that's there for you right now. And we'll be in touch with you. We'll ask you a few more questions so that we can help you along this journey. And for the rest of us today who know Christ, I want to encourage you. Take the initiative. Step out into the things God is asking you to do. Your life will be so much more exciting as you live how God desires you to live, as you do the things he asks you to do. As he does that to help you grow in your faith. Bless you. Have a great day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today that you ask us to take the initiative and step out in faith. And we're thankful that as we do that, you are with us. Help us to not question you, but to live out your word and your calling to us daily. In Jesus' name, amen. We're so glad you were with us today. I want to invite you, if you live locally, to come and join us in person. We are back open in the building. If you want to join us for a service, we are limited in numbers because of COVID and because of protocols. So all we ask you to do, if you want to come and be here in person, is that you go to our website, highwaygospel.ca, click on the button that says reserve my seat, my adult seat or my child seat, or if you're bringing your child with you, you register both of you, and that way your seat is saved and we know we have space in the building for you. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Take the initiative with your faith.